This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. For those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you contact me by mail, you can have a copy of this program on a CD. We will also take your prayer requests. If you go to my website, you can read my weekly meditation there as well as re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website. If you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, send me your address and I'll send it on to them. So if you need my address, either my website or mailing address, you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, this month we are dealing with common problems and misconceptions associated with the preaching of the gospel. We're dealing with the relationship between faith and works. We did that last time, and we want to look at the relationship between faith and baptism. We want to look at those who make too much of baptism, and we want to look in another week at those who make too little of baptism, because baptism is important. It just doesn't save. And then the last week of the month, we want to look at faith and the Lord's Supper, the relationship between faith and the Lord's Supper, because there are some people who seem to think that the Lord's Supper actually has a value insofar as the forgiveness of sins is concerned. And it's interesting that as we look at this topic, we note that the Bible is quite clear that salvation, as we read last time in Ephesians 2 and 8, is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The command is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if your household believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, your household will be saved. Acts 16 and 31. All who believe are justified from all things which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. These are clear, simple statements of Scripture. But as we said last time, when a person is saved, their wants change. And now, where they wanted to serve self and sin and Satan, they want to serve the Lord. They have a new master. They have a new desires. They have a savior that they love, who has been willing to demonstrate his love at the cross of Calvary. And so they do good works as a result of being saved. And Satan has this way of saying, well, if a person who is saved should do good works, then if you do good works, you should be saved. And that, I don't know if I made this point clear last time, but my point was that you can do all the good works you want to do, and if they're done for the wrong reason, the Lord will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And they'll say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, we've taught in your street, in your name we've done many wonderful works, but it won't make any difference because works don't save. And when we do the works in order to be saved, they're no longer considered good as far as God is concerned. But we have the same problem with the issue of baptism. We find out that a person, and we're going to see that as we go through the program today, if a person is really saved, they should be baptized. And so we have a tendency to want to reverse that. If we get baptized, then we must be saved. And you can be baptized, or whatever you want to call it, as much as you want to do it, and it's not going to make one iota's bit of difference in your relationship with God, unless you've got to have faith before a baptism is something that honors God and is done for the right reason. But a baptism, a ceremony, never has saved anyone. But the saved do go through this ceremony because they're new creatures in Christ, and they now have a different want to. They now have a desire to please the one who died for them. And the Lord says, I want you to do this to identify yourself as being mine. Sort of like having a brand put on cattle. When we get baptized, we're branded. We're no longer part of the world. We're identified with Christ. We're followers of him. And so we're going to look at a few scriptures associated with that today and again next week. And then we have the same problem with the Lord's Supper. We know that people who are saved, they're to remember the Lord. They are to do this in remembrance of me. And so it's not that they do this in order to be saved. It's not that when they do this, they have sins forgiven. It's a memorial feast. And the Lord tells us to do it, to honor him, to memorialize him, to remember him. But Satan comes along and says, well, if a Christian should take the Lord's Supper, well, then if they take the Lord's Supper, that must make them a Christian. And that just doesn't work. All it does is bring judgment upon the person who is taking those emblems unworthily. And so I want you to understand that there is confusion on these issues because Satan wants there to be confusion. But we need to keep everything in its proper perspective. Salvation makes us right vertically. These other things are things we do because we are right vertically. We're right with God, and so we want to demonstrate that we are right with God by the things that we do. We demonstrate that not only to our fellow man. We demonstrate it to God himself when we do what we do for the right reason. Now, having to do with this issue of baptism, there are some people who will tell you that you're not really saved until you're baptized. Now, the scripture that I want to look at is in Mark 16 and verse 16, where the Lord says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And there are some who look at that scripture and they take the first part of it and they say, since you must believe and be baptized, those will be saved, then you must have to be baptized in order to be saved. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. You'll notice that the end of the verse is quite clear that you're condemned because of a lack of faith in Christ. You're not condemned because of a lack of baptism. But the verse is really read wrong by those who misuse this verse and claim that it teaches that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. You have to believe and be baptized in order to be saved. It says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, that's describing me. I believe, and I've been baptized. This verse says I'll be saved. What the verse does not say is, he who believes must be baptized to be saved. But that's the way it's often read. And the point of this verse is that the Lord intended for every believer to be baptized. And he intends for them to be baptized as quickly as possible after they're saved. But if something should happen, and if they should go to heaven, they should die and go to heaven without being baptized, it would be the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that would give them entrance into heaven, not this water baptism. And so, remember, it doesn't say he who believes must be baptized to be saved, but he who does and he who does not believe will be condemned. It says he who believes and is baptized will be saved. So my question to you is, have you been baptized? We're going to look at those who make too little of baptism in our next program. Some people seem to think that since it's faith that saves, baptism is not important. But it is important as far as our testimony is concerned. It's important as far as God is concerned. And baptism, the word baptism, means to immerse. And for people who are sprinkling and people who are handling this through pourings, we need to be honest about the fact that while I believe the King James Version is a very good version and it's a benchmark version, yet in this particular case, they did not really translate the word. They just transliterated it. They made an English word out of a Greek word. And they did that because at the time the King James Version was translated, the Church of England, as I understand it, was sprinkling, and often they baptized or sprinkled infants. And so they didn't want to offend the powers that be, but the word means immersed. And every time we read it, we should probably read it immersed. And so it would read this way, he who believes and is immersed in water for the sake of the Lord will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And a person who does not believe, of course, would probably not want to be immersed in water to be identified with the Lord. Now, that's one of the problem verses, and I'm not going to be able to get through all of them, but another problem verse is found in Acts 22, verse 16. Paul is telling his testimony there. He's telling how he came to be reached on the Damascus Road, and he goes on with the story and tells how Ananias came to him and laid his hands on him. The scales fell from his eyes, and he was able to see. Then Ananias says, now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, a person who's calling on the name of the Lord is now praying to the Lord. He sees the Lord as the one who can answer his prayers, meet the needs of his life. So what does it mean to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins? Was not Paul already saved on the Damascus Road? He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And is he saying that he wasn't truly saved until he arose and was baptized and washed away his sins? No, I don't think so. Again, we have this problem of what God sees, and God sees the faith of our heart, and what man sees, and man sees our outward confession of faith. When Paul got baptized, he was actually professing to all of his friends and to all the people that he had tried to put into prison that he was a changed man. And what he was doing was he was trying to clear up in a public way the testimony, the reputation that he had as being a rejecter of this way. So he was going to wash away his sins in the sense of making his testimony different and clear and right. He was not washing away his sins in the sense of getting right with God and being saved. And so when Paul took that step of baptism, it was an important one because he was identifying himself with the one he had been persecuting. And as far as people were concerned, if before he was doing wrong, he was now going to be doing right, and he was publicly saying that everything I did before was wrong. In that sense, he was cleansing himself from the sins he had been committing. So I believe that this has to do with his testimony, his reputation, his character, not with his salvation. Now, Acts 2 and 38 is also sometimes a problem verse, and I'm not going to have time to deal with it in depth, but Peter preaches there and says, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And many people think that you have to be baptized in order to get the remission of sins. But remember, when you read this verse, repentance always brings us to faith. And so it's not saying repentance saves. It's saying that repentance will bring you the change of mind that will allow you to have faith in Christ. And then it says, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Identify with Jesus Christ, not to get the remission of sins, which four could mean, but because you have the remission of sins. When they posted signs saying, wanted Jesse James for bank robbery, they didn't want Jesse James to do a bank robbery. They wanted Jesse James because he had done a bank robbery. So this verse is really preaching the gospel the same way we always preach it. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ on account of the remission of sins, which you get when you repent and believe. And then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and we don't have time to deal with that issue right now. But baptism, again, does not put away sin. It's the blood of Christ that puts it away, and it does us good when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It becomes effective in our lives at that point. I hope you're depending on Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have been listening. We trust again that we have made it clear that baptism does not save, but it does. It is an important aspect of our testimony once we are saved. And we should be baptized, we should be immersed, and we pray that thou bless thy word and bless those who are listening. And if there are those who are saved and are not baptized, may they take it upon themselves today to make arrangements to be baptized. Now we just commit ourselves to thee in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.